sometimes what we need is a reboot, a fresh start. We'll talk about that with Dr. Don Wilton today on the broadcast. This is The Encouraging Word, featuring the Bible-based preaching of Dr. Don Wilton. And today's message on A Fresh Start will talk to us about the new beginnings that perhaps we all can use, opportunity to restart, reboot. That computer often needs to be just powered down and powered back up. Today, we're going to reboot the book of Acts in a fresh new way with Dr. Wilton. As we do so, we want you to know that we're here for you. We'd love to pray with you. 866-899-WORD is our phone number. That's way too fast. Let me share it with you slower. 866-899-9673 to connect with us 24 hours a day to pray or connect with resources. Just know that we're here for you online as well at tewonline.org. Now, Dr. Don Wilton.
Let's pray together. Our Father, you alone are the magnificent one. You are marvelous, marvelous, glorious. You're the one. And Father, we come before you today. All of us, we're sinners, we're a sinful people, and yet you love us. You love us so much. Because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever red, yellow, black, or white, whosoever believes in him should not perish but should have eternal life. Right now, there are people giving their lives to you, Lord Jesus. And we thank you. We celebrate with the angels in heaven. Lord, a word about me. Just hide me behind the cross. People are looking at me. They see me. Let them just hear a voice. And let it be God who speaks through me, through your word, this precious word, this word which is true. How desperately we need truth in America today. Just truth. We want to know the truth because the truth will set us free. In the name of Jesus, I speak the word of truth today. And we worship you. We only by your grace, because we cannot do this. Please help us to let worship lead. In Jesus' name we pray together. Amen. I'm going to ask you to take your Bibles and turn with me to Acts chapter 1. The book of Acts chapter 1. The book of Acts is an absolutely amazing book in the Bible. For many, many different reasons. But just in case you didn't know this, the book of Acts talks about the early church. So here we are in our day and age today, and we've seen a few years come and go since the early church was first established. The church was established following the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And God gave us the church. There are many different churches. They're wonderful churches in our community. We've got many, many wonderful churches all across America. There are wonderful churches like ours. So when I say to you that the church is in trouble, what I'm saying to you is the same sense in which I say that about America. If we were to take a survey here today, how many of us love America and would do anything for this beautiful nation. I'm right there. Best place in the world. Wouldn't want to be anywhere else. You know, I stand here today and I'm so thankful to the Lord for the history of our country and for this nation and for men and women across the board who make such a difference. The American spirit. So when I say to you that America is in trouble, I think all of us get it. We need something real bad. We really do. Something's going on. And we need divine intervention. That doesn't diminish my love for America. I'm a very spoiled, most grateful pastor because I have you. I have a congregation like this. Rarely have I seen, I certainly haven't in my life. I mean, just over the last couple of months alone, let alone over all these years we've been together, the faithfulness and the love and the service. We need a fresh word from the Lord. A lot of people who don't go to church anymore, they don't want to. And I'm going to say this very lovingly, in some cases I don't blame them. I can understand. It's a lot of hurt. And do you know that you can grow weary in well-doing? You know, you can do something so well over such a long time that it just wears you down. Now, you want to talk to prime people like that, go and talk to a young mother. A young mother never stops loving her little ones. But I'm glad I was never a young mother. It would have worn me slap down, I'll tell you now. I mean, it's like relentless. It's non-stop. I mean, mothers, young mothers with children, I'm telling you, do they go around the clock? I mean, it's like dealing with a whole bunch of squawking chickens all at the same time. And if one's not squawking, the other one is. It's almost like you can guarantee. And so a mother can become very worn down. Here's what this is all about. I want you to ask God to give you a fresh start. There are many of us, many of you, for a lot of reasons, are just worn down. You know, sickness will do that to you. Persistent sickness. Persistent marriage troubles. Persistent issues with your children. You know, I could go on. I want to move on from that. See what happened here in the book of Acts. Jesus went to the cross and he gave his life. He was the difference maker. He gave his life. And after he had risen from the dead, he went and appeared to many, many people. And after he had appeared to many people, he gathered together with his early church. Now, they were just a small group. It's not about numbers. Not about numbers. Jesus gathered these people. He loved them. He really loved them. Do you know that he loves you? Really loved them. And they were quite an interesting group of people. Maybe one of these days in our study, I'll break down some of their lives because God used them so mightily despite themselves. And just start with Peter. You know, you go through these early disciples and they had their struggles just like us. All of them. They were living in the fabric. They were doing life together. Walking on long, dusty, windy roads. All of them. And you can imagine how weary they were. I mean, they were facing everything you can possibly imagine. Jesus gathered them together. Now, you're going to hear that a lot. Jesus got them to come together. There's a picture of the church. So I'm going to pick up, if you've got your Bibles, in Acts chapter 1. I want to just read verses 4 through 8 for you today. Now, this is Jesus after the resurrection, and he's about to speak to his small group of believers, to the first gathering of the early church, before it even really became a church. They hadn't decided yet whether they were going to be Baptists or Methodists or Presbyterians or Episcopalians or Bush Baptists or never been a Baptist or don't ever want to be a Baptist or a Southern Baptist or a Northern Baptist. They hadn't made any of those decisions because they hadn't had any deacons meetings yet. This was the early church. This was the beginning. And Jesus was about to go back into heaven. And what he said to them was very important. Let me read it to you. And while he was staying with them in verse 4, and by the way, that little word staying there in the Greek text also means while he was eating with them. There's a real sense in which, now watch this, when Jesus was there with them in the church, there was a real sense of fellowship going on. I tell people, when they ask me, why should I go to church? One of the things I tell them is because the fellowship is out of this world. Just being with people who are like-minded. While he was staying, while he was eating with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which Jesus said, you heard from me. Verse 5. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit a number of days from now. So when they had come together, there's the early church again, when they gathered together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority. But the Bible says, none of us, it's not up to us to know the signs. Now, there are signs of the times, and we're going to come to grips with that, and we study that. But Jesus was trying to tell these people, focus on what I'm about to tell you to focus on. Otherwise, you're going to become a very distracted people. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses. Isn't that an amazing statement? Jesus here saying to them, you, believers, will be my witnesses. By the way, I just want to say this. All of us who know Jesus are witnesses. Did you know that? Some of us are jolly bad witnesses. Some of us are sort of okay witnesses. And others of us do a pretty fair dinkum job of being witnesses. But if you're a believer, you're a witness because people are watching you. They're watching me. He says, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea and Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the world. Now, here's what Jesus was saying. And this is what I want you to get hold of here today. Jesus essentially gave them three commands.
Forgive the interruption. We'll be back to discover more of what those three commands were to them and what they can be to us in just a moment. You're listening to Dr. Don Wilton. And here on The Encouraging Word, it's his insistence that we interrupt and remind you we are here for you. It's not just a presentation, it's a conversation. And every single hour we are, and sometimes overwhelmed with calls, you'll always have at least a little pop-in cue. You'll hear my voice saying, okay, we're going to get with you as quick as we can. And then it routes to one of us who are truly ready to pray with you. We're prayed up and excited to connect with you. 866-899-9673 is the number. I would challenge you to consider jotting it down or sort it in your cell. Let us be a contact. 866-899-9673. That's The Encouraging Word, and we'd love to encourage you with the power of prayer or maybe connect you with some great resources anytime, day or night. We'll do that online as well. Keyboard to keyboard at tewonline.org. Now back to today's message, A Fresh Start with Dr. Don Wilton.
That little word there that we get in the texture, he ordered them. Now we don't like, you know, we're a people, we don't like to get around that kind of statement, you know. We don't like dictatorialness. But God is. God is not open to our discussion. And it's very interesting to me here that when this group first met, Jesus commanded them. He ordered them. And there were three things that he said to him that are just too incredible. Number one, stay. Stay. That's what he said right there. He said, do not depart from Jerusalem. Stay. I think he understood the human spirit, the restlessness of the human heart. That's our culture. That's the world that we live in, isn't it? We're in a fast food generation. If we don't like it here, we'll go there. And you can imagine with the disciples how very real that was. Just consider it, folks. They had watched Jesus get arrested. They had watched him get beaten up. They'd watched him be crucified. They had watched and listened to the screaming mob. They had to hide for their lives. They were in fear for their own lives. I can understand it. I don't think Jesus was scolding them. I think what Jesus was doing was telling them what would be the best thing for them, because he knew. Stay. Stay right where you are. Somebody here right now, you getting ready to get up and go. Stay. Don't give up on your marriage today. Stay. Don't give up on your sons and your daughters. Stay. Don't give up on your circumstance. Stay the course. Hold steady. The disciples, Jesus looked at them and he knew their human heart. He knew the restlessness. He knew the buzz and the talk. In America today, the royal runaround is going on. People are restless. We are restless. The human heart is looking, is searching. If I don't find it here, I better go there. I better get me. We've got ants in our pants, so to speak. We can't sit still. We've got to keep on going. And Jesus looked at the disciples and he said, just stay. You know, when I began personally to study this passage over and over again, the bells began to ring in my own human heart. Just stay. Just understand that I am the Lord your God. Just know that I haven't gone anywhere. I haven't left. Haven't gone to sleep. I'm there for you. Just stay. The second command was wait. This is an active ingredient. He engaged them in their staying. He didn't say just stay and sit. He said actively engage yourself in the practicalities of waiting for the promise of the Holy Spirit. Wait for the promise of the Holy Spirit. You know, and it seems to me here, isn't this just like Jesus, that he would insert that little word promise? God never fails. His promises are absolutely certain. And the future is as bright as the promises of God. God is on his throne. He hasn't forgotten you. He hasn't forgotten me. He hasn't forgotten America. He hasn't left and gone to another country. He's already there. Sometimes you'll feel that he's gone out of your marriage. He's gone out of your life. He's gone out of your work. He's gone out of your faithfulness. And you've grown weary in well-doing. God says to you, stay. Stay the course. I'm calling upon you today to stay the course. Let's stand up
and be counted. Let's stay. Let's say, I'm here, Lord. Here I am. Send me. Use me. I'm only just beginning. And today is going to be the first day of the rest of my life. I will stay for you. Then he says, wait for the promise of the Holy Spirit. I tell you what, most of us, including me, we have a real problem in waiting, because our tendency is to want it now. We do live in a fast food generation. I mean, nothing can upset me more than going to my favorite coffee shop and having to wait more than 30 seconds to get my cup of coffee. I mean, I want to look across the counter and say, do you people not know who I am? What is this? You've got to brew it first before you serve it to me. We want it now, don't we? Isn't that part of our nature? Can we just be honest with that? What are you expecting right now from the Lord? Are you willing to wait for the promise of the Holy Spirit? And the third thing he said is follow. That's the key ingredient of discipleship. Remember now, he's talking to these men who comprised the early church who didn't know anything. They didn't know what was going on. They didn't know what to expect. They were fearsome. They were troubled in their hearts. They were restless. And yet God began to speak to them, and the Lord Jesus gathered them together, and he said, listen, here's what you've got to do. Stay right where you are. Number two, wait on the Holy Spirit. And number three, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, follow him. Do exactly what it is that he tells you to do. And he said, here is what it's going to incorporate. He said, here's what's going to happen. The Holy Spirit is going to empower you to become witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. When you follow hard after God, just stay, wait, and get ready to do it. God will do it. I'm calling us together to do just that. I'm asking the Lord to help me to stay in Him, in His abiding presence, to wait on what it is that God, by His Spirit, is continuous present tense saying to me, directing me. Because without Him, I'm nothing. It's the Spirit of God that, according to what Jesus said, remember what I told you about Him. What did Jesus say? The Spirit of God will convict you of your sin. The Spirit of God will convict you concerning your righteous living. And the Spirit of God will convict you concerning this whole issue of future judgment. It's going to show you. It's going to teach you. It's going to help you. Wait. And when you hear from Him, follow Him. Do it. And some today might say to me, well, Pastor, what exactly is he saying? A lot of things. Talking to all of us individually. He's calling us out. He's marked us as one of His own. He's blessing us. And what we're going to discover is that the power of the Spirit of God came down upon the New Testament church and created a buzz like you and I cannot imagine. The power of the Spirit of God came down upon these people, and extraordinary things began to take place. They began to see things that they never imagined possible before. They began to go to places they never imagined they could ever go to before. They accomplished things they never imagined they could ever accomplish before. God did something so great. I want to be part of something that God does that's so much bigger than me, that leaves me like a little pinprick on this entire planet, standing amazed in the presence of a holy and a righteous God. Would you bow your heads with me this morning?
Sometimes we hear those words when Dr. Don finishes a message, as would you bow your heads with me this morning? And it's good sometimes, unless you're driving, to take a minute and just close out all the distractions. If you can, close your eyes, bow your head, and open your heart to what might be the most important questions that you need to deal with in your life right now, as Dr. Don wraps up today's broadcast.
God has spoken to you, hasn't He? And you ready to give your heart to Jesus? I'd love to help you right now. Would you pray this prayer with me and accept Jesus into your heart and life? Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that Jesus loves me and died for me on the cross. Right now, I repent of my sin and I confess my sin to the Lord Jesus Christ. Come into my heart and save me today and forgive me for my sin. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you've prayed that prayer, we'd love to get alongside of you and celebrate with you and send you some literature and help you as you begin to grow. And I want you to know that I love you very, very much. And by the way, don't leave. Don't go away, whatever you do, because I'll be right back.
If you've given your heart to Jesus Christ, welcome to the family. Dr. Don wants you to have some resources, some specific things that will help you grow in your faith, and we'd love to put them in your hands absolutely free. Just need to let us know that you gave your life to Christ or maybe rededicated your life to Jesus today. Call us right now at 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. And let us know you gave your heart to Christ, and we'd love to put these resources in your hands. Perhaps like me, you already are a Christian and you're hitting some bumps in the highway. It could be that you are interested in how do we figure out that the bumps are not just what we stop on, but what we climb on. Well, there's some great resources like this book that's something you might want to have.
Do you struggle with frustration, depression, disappointment, or loneliness? You can gain a new perspective to see your life and the lives of others through the lens of God. This month, for your gift of $25 or more per set to the Encouraging Word, you will receive two ministry resources: Dr. Wilton's Stirring Message, The Poured Out Believer, and the bonus book, The Bumps Are What You Climb On, by Warren Wiersbe. Both of these resources will help you gain strength to serve God faithfully, no matter what age you are or whatever your circumstance. Call us at 866-899-WORD and request The Poured Out Believer, available on CD or DVD, along with the bonus book today. The Encouraging Word is a viewer and listener-supported ministry that trusts in God to supply our needs through people. Thank you for listening today.
Thanks so much for spending this time together with us on The Encouraging Word with Dr. Don Wilton. I hope you'll come back tomorrow. At the same time, Dr. Don's message is called Hearing from God. And all of us, most all of us, I sure have had seasons of life where I feel like, wow, God is just being silent. What do I need to learn in the silence? And more importantly, what do I need to do to tune my ear to Him so that He's no longer silent and I am hearing from God? That's the message for tomorrow's broadcast here on The Encouraging Word with Dr. Don Wilton. Between now and then, let's stay connected. You can meet us online at tewonline.org. That's tewonline.org. Or call us on the phone at 866-899-9673.